Shout for joy. Sing joyfully. Be glad and exult with all your heart. The Lord has removed the judgment against you. Brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. This is this great Gaudete Sunday, this joyful Sunday where we come together and should rejoice in so many ways. It is the great invitation to shout with exultation, to be filled with the joy that comes from God. This great and holy and wonderful and exciting moment is, even John the Baptist is telling them, he exhorted them in many other ways. He preached good news to the people. He's so excited. And what are we excited about? We should be excited about the coming of our Savior. This arrival of our Savior who is to come. This one who is to bring to us so many great things. He will baptize with the Holy Spirit in fire. He will blast away the chaff with unquenchable fire. He will gather the wheat into his barn. Those who have good fruits he will bring to himself. And those who do not yield good fruits he will just find to get rid of. This great moment where we actually get to be invited to rejoice in God this Gaudete Sunday. We're so excited we're even wearing strange and bizarre colors, you know? We're just that excited that we're willing to go the extra distance to express this incredible joy, this wonderful joy. And it is all in preparation of the coming of our Savior. This great Savior, this one who will come in innocence at Christmas. And it's beautiful. The gospel, they know that they're so close to the Messiah, they know they're so close to the arrival of their Savior that the herald of the Messiah is there. They ask John the Baptist, he is his herald. What should we do? We're so close, he's almost there. What are the last minute preparations? It's almost as if you went to your mother and father and said, what should you do this week to do the last minute preparations? Or even scarier, if your children actually came up to you, if you are the adult, and said to you, what else can we do to help you prepare for Christmas? I imagine if they said that, you could probably die of shock right there. But, you know, consider that for a moment. They came to John the Baptist. They're so excited. What should we do in these last moments? And what does he tell them? He says, do your job well. He doesn't say to tax collectors, stop collecting taxes. He says, take what's needed, not more. He doesn't say to soldiers to stop being soldiers. He says, no, be happy with your wages. Don't take what's not belonging to you. With each and every one of them, he exhorts them to do their role well, in joyful expectation of the coming of the Savior, in this great expectation of this one who is to come. I think of some of the jobs that we have as children as we prepared for Christmas. Of course, some of the ones are a little more exciting than others. There were always those last minute details to keep track of. We kind of had to look at what chores were left to do, exciting things like cleaning bathrooms and washing floors. And if you were smart, you got on the list early so that you got away from difficult jobs like cleaning bathrooms and washing floors. You took something easier like dusting, which I don't really believe is a real thing sometimes the way my sibling did, but that's not the point. Not the point. Some of the more exciting jobs, of course, things like being able to light the candle for the Advent wreath every night at dinner. And if you couldn't be the one who tried to set the house on fire trying to light the Advent wreath, then you'd be the one trying to set the house on fire by blowing out the Advent wreath. You know, these are the jobs that we get excited for, you know. And if you really were talented, you would look at that sibling across the table and you'd try and blow it out so that it blew straight at them. So maybe you could, you know, give them a little harder time just right there and there, just trying to focus on that. But even with all of these, let's say, fascinating family exercises, I think it's so incredible that as we come to this Gaudete Sunday, I really feel like I've had a wonderful opportunity for some perspective as I think about this. Because the truth of the matter is that even as this Sunday challenges us and invites us and calls us to rejoice, maybe we don't necessarily feel as joyful as the readings. Maybe we don't feel as exuberant as the liturgy tries to suggest that we should be at this point, being so close. On Wednesday, I had the opportunity to film this Mass, the Gaudete Sunday Mass, for the shut-ins. And as I'm filming the Mass, I thought to myself that as I'm telling them to rejoice, as I'm saying this Gaudete Sunday, this exuberance, that some of them maybe don't have a lot to be excited about. That Mass that they see on TV will be the only Mass they'll get to that weekend. And maybe they don't have family to come see them. On Thursday, I went out to Dixon Correctional and I had this Mass for the prisoners out of Dixon Correctional. And of course, as I was preaching about how exciting this Sunday is, I saw a lot of long faces because they remembered that none of them will be home for Christmas. And I thought about that and the consideration of the challenges that we encounter in so many difficult ways in our life. 2012, on this particular Sunday in Advent, this parish didn't even have a pastor. They were kind of between priests. There was no daily mass during the week. There was nothing. There's a lot of opportunities that maybe we don't feel quite as excited as the readings might suggest. And as I think about that, I think about the prophet Zephaniah, who actually is giving this great exhortation. If you get a chance to read Zephaniah, by all means, please do so. It's one of the great accomplishments of life. If you ever want to impress somebody, just say, you read a whole book of the Bible cover to cover without stopping. And they go, wow. Don't ever tell them it's Zephaniah, because it's only 3 chapters. It takes like 12 minutes to read the whole thing. But, you know, that you don't have to tell them that part. Just tell them that you sat down and you read an entire book of the Bible in one sitting. That's how committed you are to your faith. Zephaniah is three chapters long. I'm not exaggerating. It's 3 chapters long. It takes like 12 minutes. It really takes no time at all. If you're a fast reader, it goes even faster. Zephaniah is 2 chapters of doom and gloom. He really is. It's 2 chapters of doom and gloom. How everything's coming apart, everything's going because people are not following the way that they're supposed to. It's only here in the 3rd chapter, at the very close, that he shouts with joy. Because he's trying to bring the people back up. Because their situation is really grim. I think the thing that's most fascinating about this Gaudete Sunday is you actually take a very close look at any of these readings. The joy that is trying to be conveyed here is this joyful moment. It is this sharing of a great joy, not because things are going great, not because things are actually so wonderful, not because everything has lined up perfectly and they're ready for their perfect moment with everything, but kind of the opposite. They need a reminder that there is something to be joyful about, that despite the challenges of the day, despite the difficulties that we face, that because of how hard it is, we are invited to rejoice. We are invited to come into this joy because we have a God in heaven who loves us so very much. We have a God who is completely other, who is capable of watching the whole world go by, and yet has such an ardent love for us, that he steps out of his timelessness and into time. He steps out of the ethereal and becomes material. He broaches the very world he's made and comes in true innocence to offer us salvation. This God who has such a profound, deep, and lasting love for us, that he comes to save us, that he comes as the Prince of Peace, not because everything is going so great that we're just ready to receive him. Not because things have just smoothly rolled along and now everything's going to come together. But quite the opposite. Because now, as much as ever, we need a Savior. We need someone to bring that peace. We need someone to be that witness of love, to remind us in whatever struggles we have and whatever darkness we've encountered, that we have a God who so very much wants to save us, that he will cross any divide, that he will cross any separation to show us his love. So my dear brothers and sisters, on this Gaudete Sunday, I want to challenge you and invite all of you that if you're not feeling particularly joyful, or maybe you don't think there's a lot to be joyful about right this second, that these readings are especially for you. And that all of us, no matter where we are invited to take heart in this great prophet, the great apostle, the great evangelist, who remind us that now is the time to rejoice because Jesus is coming. And he's coming to save us.